Yo, what is up, everybody? I'm back. Well, kind of back. I just wanted to give an update on kind of what's going on. As many of you know, about a month ago, my dog had to have his knee surgery on his knee. It wasn't necessarily a scope. It's something called, I think I'm going to get it wrong, an MPL surgery. Basically, his kneecap was moving in and out of place every time he ran, every time he got up from the couch and kind of slammed down. So it was something that we had to get done. It is not fun. He basically, for the first month, had to be in his crate 23 hours a day. He could only go out to go potty. I would have to carry him out. So, I mean, dude, it's been a lot, especially with two twins who are two that just want to play with him. He wants to play with them. It has not been fun. He's on some killer drugs, though, so he's hanging in there. This is week five. He's actually sitting right next to me on the couch as I record this. I have to lift him up on there because the doctor doesn't want him doing any playing, doing any running, doing any jumping, but he can go on 3 15-minute walks a day. He's hanging in there. He's feeling good. He's got the hair. I'm looking at him right now. He's got the hair coming back on his leg. He's doing good. He's hanging in there. I appreciate everyone reaching out, but I mean, that's where I've been. That's kind of where the podcast has been. I know that Brett had Derek on the other day to talk a little Boston Celtics, which is pretty cool. I listened to that. Good episode by those guys. But yeah, we're going to be coming back. I think the first one that Brett and I are going to do is next Tuesday. And then after that, we'll be getting back into some of the State of the Union pods that we did that were pretty successful that I think everyone that listens to this podcast really seemed to like, and we'll get back to doing some of that stuff. So I appreciate everyone reaching out. I appreciate the well wishes for those of you that knew about, you know, what was going on with the bunk. And yeah, so I just kind of wanted to hop on. I'll make this a quick pod. You guys know that I don't like to go too long with some of this stuff, and kind of just give some of my takes on what's been going on in the NBA, especially with the Eastern Conference. That's kind of what I'm going to focus on today. Obviously, like I said, kids go to bed at night. The dog can't really do anything. The wife's working second, third shift. So it's just me and NBA League Pass. And it's been a lot of fun. So let's start with the red hot Boston Celtics. I know all Boston Celtics, they just won the November championship. They're celebrating like this is the greatest team of all time. But truth be told, you guys know I'm a Bucks fan. I will flat out admit it right now. Today, I'm recording this on December 6th, Boston's the best team in the NBA. I think Jason Tatum is going to be the MVP. He should be the MVP. He is balling at an absolute crazy level right now. He's just dunking on everybody. He's averaging 31 points a game. Jaylen Brown is averaging just a shade under 27 points a game. Without a doubt, I don't even think it's close. They are the best duo in the NBA. I know a lot of people will probably say, based on the recent play, LeBron and AD, I heard that on a podcast today. No, it's Tatum and Brown. Those two are just, they're going nuts right now. They're a deep team. All the concerns that we had about Joe Mazzulla stepping into that role, they're all gone. I mean, we'll see what happens in the playoffs. Like I said, it's December 6th right now, but they're the real deal, man. They are the real deal. If you want to nitpick, kind of get in the weeds a little bit, as I said, Tatum and Brown are scoring 31 and 27 points a game. Their next highest point total is Malcolm Brogdon at 13.9, and you're already kind of seeing he's starting to miss a little games here and there. That's no big deal. Grant Williams is just balling from three-point range. Marcus Smart looks good, and they don't got Rob Williams back. But again, if you want to nitpick a little bit, I believe their defensive rating is they're 15th in the NBA. So, I mean, obviously their offensive rating is number one, so you can kind of nitpick that a little bit. And they're killing teams. Some of their losses, you could say, were a little fluky. They lost to the Bulls a couple times. They lost to Cleveland. Both games went into overtime. But yeah, man, they're fine. They're fine. They're 20-5. They'll be fine. I'm not worried about the Boston Celtics at all. They should be either the one seed or the two seed going into the playoffs unless, you know, something drastic happens. And Robert Williams is expected to come back. Rumored is he's coming back around Christmas Day, which leads me to my next team, you know, my Milwaukee Bucks. It's been a kind of a roller coaster with this team. But with that said, they're 17-6. Chris Middleton came back the other night against the Lakers. He looked great. He didn't play against Charlotte, struggled a little bit against Orlando, but just his presence on the floor, I think, is really going to be a good thing. The Celtics and the Bucks, it's kind of fascinating watching these two teams play. I've talked to a lot of my Bucks friends and a lot of my Celtics friends. It's going to be just a rock fight, I think, when these two teams play. Boston is, as we said, they got the number one offensive rating in the NBA. Well, the Milwaukee Bucks have the number one defensive rating in the NBA, and their offense due to the lack of Chris Middleton not being available and Pat Connaughton kind of being in and out of the lineup a little bit. They're, I think, 16th, 17th, right around there. And Brooke Lopez, as I clearly confidently said that Jason Tatum is the NBA MVP, Brooke Lopez is clearly the defensive player of the year. I mean, dude, he had 7 blocks the other night against Charlotte. He finally, thank you, Bud, got a night off against Orlando the other night. I mean, he's averaging 3 blocks a game. He has 3 games with 6-plus blocks. No one in the NBA has more than 2. He's balling out. He's shooting a career high from 3-point range. They're just a solid team, and getting Middleton back is really going to help them. I am a little bit concerned about Pat Connaughton. Granted, it's only been 7 games. He is shooting 25% from 3. If you watch that Laker game, he had a couple shots go in and out. The Orlando game, a couple shots go in and out, but he's got to get that going. I think that he will. Milwaukee definitely has a trade to make. Grayson Allen, he's shooting a career high from 3-point range as well. I think he's well above, I think he's like 44%, something like that. He had a game winner against the Knicks, but you saw it in that Laker game. They needed a big shot. He had 8 points. Didn't even kind of remember that he was on the court. But we'll see what happens. What more can I say about Giannis? He's unbelievable, man. He's really unbelievable. He's averaging 31.9 points a game, which would be a career high for him. He's just in complete control. As a Bucks fan, though, I'm a little bit concerned. It's a little bit too heliocentric for me. His usage rate is way up, and I'm hoping. I think it'll happen, but, you know, crazier things have happened. That'll go down once Chris kind of gets acclimated back to the offense. But this is another team, man. I mean, the 2 best teams, I think, head and shoulders above everybody, are Boston and Milwaukee. And I cannot wait for Christmas Day, although I joked with some of my Celtics friends. It would be funny if Bud just decided to sit all the starters from Milwaukee. They kind of got a brutal December coming up. They're playing every other day the entire month of December. Their next back-to-back, I want to say, is like January 3rd, January 4th. So that's kind of something to monitor. They play some tough teams. I think they only have 5 home games the entire month. I'm actually going to the one tomorrow night against Sacramento, so that'll be fun. But yeah, man, Milwaukee's just a solid team. They're really good. Beauchamp looks good, and there's a trade to make there. I think Jordan Clarkson would look really well in a Milwaukee Bucks uniform. I don't know how they're going to get it done, but John Horst is he's made a trade at the trade deadline, I think, every year. So, I mean, or they could go flip side. Maybe they go get an Alex Caruso. He would look good in Milwaukee if they just really want to double down on defense. But, a trade is definitely there to be made. And I can't go on to the next team, go on to Cleveland without just giving a shout-out to Bobby Portis. He's looking like a 6th man of the year candidate, man. I mean, he's averaging a double-double. He is just straight balling right now. And, you know, like I said, Milwaukee is – they're solid. They're right there with Boston. They're clearly the top 2 teams in not only the East, but in the NBA. Going on to Cleveland. I am recording this just after the Lakers-Cleveland game. Kind of sucks that AD was hurt. I really wanted to see that matchup. I mean, dude, talk about Anthony Davis. He's been on a tear, man. This is the Anthony Davis that we've wanted to see. But Cleveland's good, man, and they're fun. And I cannot remember a offseason trade in the NBA that got as much universal praise for being the right trade for Cleveland as Donovan Mitchell going there. I mean, he has been everything as advertised. He's going to be an all-NBA player this year. He's shooting 42% from 3. He's averaging 28 points a game. If you watched the Cleveland game tonight, I mean, he completely took over. Darius Garland looks good. I mean, that backcourt, it's a fun backcourt. It's really fun. Cleveland is number 2 in defensive rating. And I don't think a lot of people know this, but they're also 10th in offensive rating. So you would think that Boston and Milwaukee, they would be top 10. But they're not. But in offense and defense rating, I'm sorry. But they're not. It is Cleveland. And they're fun, man. They're a fun team. I mean, Evan Mobley's got plenty of time. And I was just texting with a buddy. I'm super excited for Jared Allen. I mean, he looks good. I mean, he was kind of a throw-in in that deal. I mean, I think Brooklyn could definitely use him. And they're just a fun team, man. Just seeing the crowd tonight, watching that game, the crowd's into it. It's awesome. I'm happy for all my friends that are Cleveland fans. And they're a fun team, man. I think that maybe they're a year or two away. But, you know, we've seen this. How many times in the NBA have we seen this? You know, you look at Milwaukee. Milwaukee had to lose to Toronto in order to win, you know, the NBA title. I mean, Boston, I think that they kind of overachieved a little bit in those Kyrie years getting to the Eastern Conference Finals. The bubble was a weird year. But, you know, you looked at it last year. I think a lot of people would tell you that Boston maybe should have won that NBA Finals, but they got their hearts broken. And it just, all these teams happen. I think that's kind of where we're at for Cleveland. All experience is good experience. I really, truly believe that. There's no, you're always going to be able to get better. And Cleveland's set up to go, man. They're just a really, really fun team. Kevin Love has embraced his role. I mean, I still laugh about it a couple years ago. I mean, I remember he just, I think he got a 5-second call or something. He just did not want to be there, demanded a trade. And it's all kumbaya in Cleveland right now, and it should be. They're a really good team. Which brings me to the team that I'm going to talk about next that I don't know, man. The Atlanta Hawks, they're a weird team. I was thinking about recording this a week ago. Maybe I would have had a little bit of a different reaction to it, but that Trae Young story is so weird. I know Nate McMillan is an old school coach, and he's kind of got his old school ways about him, but just that, you know, hey, if you're not going to do a shoot around, you're going to have to come off the bench or don't play. And Trae Young chose to not play. And then just the back and forth with the Atlanta reporter that was asking him questions. And I didn't think there was any weird with the tone. I thought they were all fair questions. It's basically, hey, you're the leader of the team. How does this look? Ba-da-da-da-da. And it's just weird. Trae kind of went back at him and said, you know, you're an outsider. Like, dude, you're the leader of the team, man. You're the face of the franchise. Like, it's just a bad look. And they gave up a lot to get DeJounte Murray, who, you know, he's looked good. I mean, he really has looked good. But this team is just, you know, Brett and I talked about this last year. I feel like we kind of talked about this the year before. They just got a lot of guys. You know, John Collins, I think every year has been on the trade block. I think 5 years from now, while he's still in an Atlanta uniform, he's still going to be on the trade block. They're just weird. I mean, their offensive rating is 21st in the NBA. I don't know, man. The star player is never going to go. Maybe this is Nate McMillan's last year. From everything that I've read and heard, they're not going to make a midseason change, but they're just a weird team. But on a bright spot, AJ Griffin is the real deal, man. He was hurt a lot at Duke last year, but even when they made that pick, I was like, man, I think a lot of people are sleeping on this kid. I think he's going to be really good. And I got to see it up close, man. I mean, he beat Milwaukee's brains in a little bit. He's fun. And how about Okongwu? I mean, I think that he is the only player in the NBA that can actually guard Giannis. And I truly mean that. Like, he makes it difficult for him. He guards him pretty good. He's got length. He's got athleticism. And, you know, the Hawks and Bucks have played 3 times and Atlanta's gotten them twice. So, I mean, like that's kind of some bright spots, but the Trae Young thing is just weird. I don't know if people like playing with him, if you don't like playing for him. I mean, you know, it's just a couple years ago, he went in the Garden. They had that Eastern Conference Finals run and he was kind of the toast of the town, but just weird, immature shit, man. I don't know how much I like that. I don't. Which let's go to the next team, the Indiana Pacers. They're one of my favorite teams to watch. Obviously, Tyrese Halliburton, shout out to Oshkosh, Wisconsin. He's balling, man. He is absolutely balling. And if you listen to kind of like his post-game interviews, he's so smart. He's got one of those photographic memories. He can just recite things for you from the top. They're just a fun team, man. And Benedict Mathurin, he's freaking awesome, dude. He's averaging 18 points a game. He's coming off the bench. He's their second leading scorer. He's awesome, man. And it's so funny because going into, you know, this season, we thought that, oh man, are they gonna tank? Are they gonna be a team that tanks? Are they gonna be a team that tanks? Get Wembanyama. And I don't know if they can, man. I mean, they're 13-11 right now. Rick Carlisle, is he the best coach in the NBA right now? I know there's a lot of stuff with Spoelstra. I mean, Popovich is always gonna be there, but wherever that guy goes, man, he just wins with the weirdest rosters. I know maybe things kind of got frayed a little bit with Luka, but I mean, he was in Dallas for more than a decade. I mean, people get burnt out, man, but he came back to Indiana. He's got that team playing hard. And Miles Turner, I mean, shout out to, I was listening to Zach Lowe's podcast the other day. And I mean, if you're Indiana, why would you want to trade Miles Turner? I mean, he looks really good. I believe he's like 27, 28 years old. I mean, that, you kind of got a little bit of a squad there. I mean, Halliburton, Benedict Mathurin, the backcourt. I mean, if Indiana plays its card right, that may be the backcourt for the next 10, 12 years. Miles Turner looks good. As I said, I mean, he playing good, man. I don't know, man. I'm not sure I would necessarily trade him. I mean, maybe Buddy Hield, but you know, Buddy Hield's playing good as well. I like this team, man. They're one of my favorite teams to watch every time they're on. I can't wait till they come to Milwaukee. But yeah, man, dude, and I know Sacramento, we'll get to them probably next week when I talk about the Kings, but man, Tyrese Halliburton's that dude, man. I said it before the draft. He's a G, man. That dude can flat out hoop. Brooklyn Nets, 13-12. The Kyrie situation is weird. We really haven't gotten a chance to talk about it. Like I said, I really haven't been on, but just a weird situation. Just very weird. I don't really know what to make of it all. It's just weird. I kind of don't really want to touch on some of that subject. Kind of just want to keep it to Paul. KD has been phenomenal. He's averaging just about 30 points a game, trying to keep them afloat. Ben Simmons. I thought Ben Simmons kind of started off the season pretty slow. I know he had back surgery, recovering from that, but it just looked mentally he wasn't there, and it sucks, you know, because I caught a lot of flack for this, but I think when Ben Simmons is right, you know, he's a top 20, 25 player in the NBA. He just hasn't been right mentally. And obviously now he's got some of the physical stuff. He was playing really good before he got hurt. He looked, you know, a little bit like the Ben Simmons of old. I think that Philly game really helped him out a little bit, but then he gets hurt, and now he's missing a couple games. If I was the Brooklyn Nets, they fired Steve Nash. I would just blow this thing up. I would try to trade KD. I'll try to get as many picks as possible and just kind of go from there. I don't know what else you can do. It's clear as day that Kyrie Irving will not be on that team next season, whether he gets traded or whether he leaves via free agency. I think Ben Simmons is probably going to be there for a little bit. I don't know any other team that would trade for him. But I would trade KD and get as many picks as I can. Obviously, they don't have a lot. The cupboard is pretty bare after the James Harden deal. And I said it earlier. You heard me say it. Jared Allen will look pretty, pretty good in a Brooklyn Nets uniform. But I think, you know, this trade deadline is going to be crazy. I truly believe that as these teams kind of figure out what they want to do. I mean, could you get a first for Seth Curry? I don't know. Maybe. Joe Harris will look pretty good on some of these other teams. And I just think, what are you doing if you're Brooklyn? I don't think there's a championship squad here. I really don't. I mean, Boston, you saw that game. Boston kind of had their way with them. I don't know. I don't think that Brooklyn is coming out of the East anytime soon. I would blow it up. I would start over. That's just me. Philly. For me, Philly, I kind of wrote down in my notes there, it's just health. That's really what it comes down to. Joel Embiid has been in and out of the lineup. James Harden has been, I mean, he's out. I know he came back on Monday. That was weird loss to Houston in double overtime. Tyrese Maxey is currently out. No, my guy PJ Tucker, obviously one of my favorite Bucks of all time. He like just won't score the basket now. I know his plus minus is through the roof. His defense is always solid, but they just need to get healthy. I know Doc Rivers is getting a lot of flack. Maybe rightfully so. I don't know, though. I, from what I've seen of Philly, they just got to get healthy, and then I'll kind of make a prediction then. Obviously, the defense has been better. They're top 10 in defensive rating. You can hear Bunker snoring right now with Embiid there, but I think obviously that's due to Harden and Maxey being out. And, you know, I want to see what this team looks like in January, in February. I think December is going to be kind of a little bit of a rough month for them, 500-ish month, and we'll just kind of see from them. But if this team isn't really gelling by February, I'd be a little bit worried, and maybe, you know, Doc's job is on the line there. But we just got to see. Get healthy. You know, I'd like to see the NBA is better when Joel Embiid is balling out, and I would like to see him get into a deep playoff run. He's never been out of the second round. And that's the other thing with Philly. Everyone wants to crown them. We do this every year with them. I think every single offseason, oh, look at Daryl Morey. Look at the offseason they had. Great offseason. Well, Doc Rivers has a bunch of playoff failures. James Harden has a bunch of playoff failures. And Joel Embiid has a bunch of playoff failures. I don't know. You can't see me, but I'm shrugging my shoulders. I don't know. Kind of seems like maybe we're going to get into another playoff failure. But, you know, we'll see. Next team. I was texting with a buddy of mine who's a Toronto fan. They're 500. Are they the most disappointing team in the NBA? I think this is going to be one of the topics that Brett and I definitely talk about when him and I do a podcast together. And I'll do a State of the Union with some Toronto fans as well, just to get their point of view. But, I mean, Brett, before the season, Brett had this team at second in the Eastern Conference. And obviously, you know, there's only been 25 games. We're only at the quarter mark. A lot can change. But something just seems off with this team. Siakam is balling. OG, I mean, he's going to be an all-defensive player, first team probably. He's playing great. But if you watch them, something seems off. They're 7th in defensive rating, 13th in offensive rating. We all know how good of a job Nick Nurse is. God damn it, fucking Badgers were just up by 10, and now it's a 5-point game. Sorry, that's on in the background. There's about 2 minutes left in the second half. Maryland's 13th in country. yeah, that's kind of my take on them. Otto Porter has only played 8 games. There's been a bunch of weird talks about some trade stuff. Fred VanVleet, I don't know. I don't see Toronto necessarily making a big trade. Again, some of the Toronto fans or friends of mine that I've been talking to, you know, they think Scotty Barnes, like kind of the joy, I'm doing air quotes right now, has been zapped from his play. I know that, you know, it was a big to-do that, you know, Toronto will not put Scotty Barnes in a KD trade. I don't know how you feel about that, Toronto. I don't have the answer for that. I don't know if I would do that or not. I don't know how close Toronto feels as it is to winning an NBA title, but something just seems off with this team. I don't know what it is. Maybe they'll just figure it out. Maybe it's, you know, first quarter of the season, just going through some stuff. But I trust Nick Nurse. He's a good coach. I expect Toronto to finish, obviously, better than 500. Miami. Whew. Another weird team. As you've heard Brett say before and myself before, I do not like this roster construction. Tyler Hero is really good. You know, that's my guy. Shout out to Whitnall. Dude, he's a bucket getter, man. He is going to go out there and get you a buckets. But, you know, for what they're paying him, you also kind of got to play some defense. And in the playoffs, teams are just going to go at him. And I know that he's been injured. Jimmy Butler has, you know, for seemingly the fifth year in a row, has been in and out of the lineup. And Bam is a really, 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 really good player. And he's excellent, outstanding at defense. The offensive game where every analyst wants him to average, you know, 25, 26, 27 points a game, man, that might not be his game. It really might not be. I have no idea where Miami is for a trade candidate. I think they're always going to be flirting with Bradley Beal. They're always going to be flirting with, you know, the next big quote-unquote superstar that becomes a free agent. I don't know. Spo's a great coach, man. I mean, I know I gave some flowers to Rick Carlisle before, but obviously Eric Spoelstra is a top 5 coach in the NBA. Maybe they turn around, but last year that Eastern Conference Finals run that Jimmy Butler missed 3 to go to the NBA Finals, that might be it, man. That may be the highlight of this. Maybe they have to blow this up. Maybe they trade Jimmy Butler. I don't see that happening, but I think that, you know, everything should be on the table when it comes to this team because I don't know necessarily where they go. I really don't. I know they had that, you know, that back-to-back against Boston. Jimmy Butler doesn't play the first one. Boston kind of handles them pretty good. And then the second one, you know, halfway through that third quarter, Miami just comes alive and Jimmy Butler does what he does. You know, he's when Jimmy Butler is on, Dan, in big games, man, there's not a lot of players that you would want to have over him. So yeah, I don't know where Miami's going to go. I don't know what trade they make. I can't believe that Duncan Robinson is still on the team. But then again, who's going to want to trade for that contract? Just a weird team. I also read, was it Shams reported that Kyle Lowry, or I think it was Rick Bucher. Yeah, sorry. Rick Bucher reported that, you know, Miami would be willing to trade Kyle Lowry. Who's going to trade for Kyle Lowry? He's in his late 30s. He's always overweight. That contract is ridiculous. I mean, maybe as a backup, I don't know where Kyle Lowry is going to go on a contending team and start. That's just a weird team, man. Just very weird. I don't like how their offseason went. They never replaced PJ Tucker. 11-13. Sheet fans, you know who you are. You're fine. Have fun in, you know, Milwaukee South. Enjoy the weather. That's all I got. The Washington Wizards, they are also 11-13. How about Porzingis? He looks pretty good. He's played 23 out of 24 games. He's averaging just under 23 points a game. He looks good, man. He looks really good. Bradley Beal looks good. I think he's averaging just a shade above Porzingis. To me, though, the thing is if you're Washington and you're Tommy Shepard, what is your goal? Obviously, you gave the bag and a no-trade clause to Bradley Beal. Everybody says that they love Washington, all the players. But, you know, Kyle Kuzma, I mean, the report just came out today, man. He might command $15, $20, $25 million a year. I mean, he's having a really, really good year. He'd look really good on a contending team. Do you trade him? Can you get a first-round pick for him kind of near the trade deadline? My guy, I can't talk about Washington without talking about my guy, Johnny Davis. 10th pick in the draft. Hasn't played. Sitting in the G League. You know, that's my guy. I'm hopeful that he'll be able to figure out. I mean, he was so good at Wisconsin last year. I mean, he carried that team. Wisconsin had no one to really support him. And it just sucks, man. But I'll be rooting for him. But I can't sit here and say, you know, that he's he can't contribute. If he can't contribute, I mean, what are we doing here? I mean, he's got to find a way to get on the floor. But, you know, for Washington to pick in the 10th range and not have, you know, some of these lottery picks help them out, it just, it kills you, man. It really kills you for those teams that aren't trying to tank, that are kind of in middle ground there. And they're in middle ground with a Bradley Beal contract like that. And I don't know if I'm a Washington fan, I just don't know where you go. I don't know what the game plan is. I don't know what you want to do. Really doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But, you know, they'll probably be a playing team, get beat right away. You know, if that's a successful season for them, that's a successful season for them. New York Knicks. I said it from the get-go. I love the Jalen Brunson contract. I love that Jalen Brunson went to the Knicks. Jalen Brunson is a bucket getter. He's a straight-up bucket getter. He's a straight-up assassin. And you kind of see it out west. Dallas sorely misses Jalen Brunson. He can create his own shot. He can get off the dribble. He can shoot. He's a playmaker, and Dallas misses that. And in New York right now, he's doing everything that as advertised. That contract, I think in a couple of years, is going to be a bargain. Now, they have Julius Randle. Probably got to get rid of him. But, you know, what I wrote in my notes is should have traded for Donovan Mitchell. And I know that kind of the argument to that would be, you know, Donovan Mitchell's in the perfect situation in Cleveland. Cleveland has, you know, quote-unquote other stars around him. They're better. The roster is better than the Knicks is. And that is all 100% true. But if you're the New York Knicks and you signed all these players to the, you know, the Evan Fourniers, to all these short contracts, you've been smart with your draft picks. You have a treasure chest of draft picks. You know, what are we doing here? You know, this is the guy that you wanted to get. And you didn't get him. I would say, you know, yeah, he's happy in Cleveland right now. He's saying all the right things. Maybe he signs a contract extension in Cleveland. Maybe he doesn't. You know, that's a couple years down the road. I'm not, you know, trying to start anything or get in on that. But I mean, he would be the perfect Nick. You know, no matter what, the garden, you know, would be electric. You know, Jalen Brunson and Donovan Mitchell in that backcourt. But, you know, it didn't happen. And I laughed, you know, kind of before the season began. And I am kind of poke fun at it too. You know, how much is SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander going to like losing in Oklahoma City? But that dude's balling right now. I mean, he's going to be – he has the potential to be, you know, all NBA first team, especially at the quarterway mark. He's averaging 30 a game and doing – he's killing it for OKC. I mean, then if you're the Knicks, dude, you're not going to be able to get him. You know, the price of the brick just went up, you know, to quote my guy Stringer Bell. So if you're the Knicks, I don't know. If you didn't want to give that package for Donovan Mitchell, who's the next guy that's going to be available that you're willing to give that same package to? Like I said, the price of the brick is going up. And if you're the Knicks, I don't know what you do. I'm going to guess this is probably Tom Thibodeau's last year coaching. There's a lot of pressure on that front office. Tom Thibodeau's last year coaching the Knicks. Not saying that he's going to, you know, retire from coaching. I think that he will get fired. But I don't know what you do if you're the Knicks. I really don't. You got Jalen Brunson. They want that next superstar, man. They want that next star that's going to demand for a trade. And, you know, for the Knicks, you know, get in line with everybody else. And there's a lot of teams that have draft picks out there. A lot of teams. Next team, Chicago Bulls. Shout out to my guy Riley, who also hosts Overstated NBA podcast. I got to get on his, and you know, we've been kind of DMing. You know, what are the Bulls going to do? What are the Bulls going to do? They're 9-14. They're in no man's land. Orlando has their first round pick this year. DeMar DeRozan is still balling. He's still doing good things. Zach LaVine, his knee's all fucked up, man. They gave him the bag. His knee's all fucked up. It sucks. It's nothing that Zach LaVine did. It's nothing that Chicago Bulls did. But injuries happen, and injuries suck. And you know, it's really hurting Chicago right now. Obviously, Lonzo Ball hasn't played. Who knows if he's going to be able to play this year. I don't even know if he's running right now. Every report that, you know, he's going to be back in a little bit. Now he's out indefinitely. So, you know, he's not there. Alex Caruso, probably a good trade chip. I would love him for Milwaukee to get him. Probably not, but it sounds like, you know, maybe Golden State is going to get him if you're into, you know, conspiracies or looking too much into stuff. You know, Steve Kerr, if you read his lips, he's told Alex Caruso after the Golden State Chicago game that he would love to coach him. That seems like a real possibility. Golden State definitely has the assets that Chicago would maybe want. You know, Reinsdorf is a cheapie, though. You know, the owner of the Bulls. I know that front office is revamped and, you know, it's not Gar Pax anymore. But, you know, we'll see what happens. Billy Donovan just got a contract extension. You know, Chicago gets a pass on a lot of this stuff. You know, they had the greatest player, Michael Jordan. They won all those titles in the 90s. But, you know, I think people forget that Chicago is the third biggest city, you know, in the United States. It's a proud organization. and they have sucked for too long. You know, I think they've been to one Eastern Conference Finals since Jordan retired, and that's just unacceptable. You know, that wouldn't happen in LA, and you know, Chicago needs to get to back to that. And you know, the NBA is in a much better place when the Chicago Bulls are competing for championships or competing for, you know, Eastern Conference Finals, not competing for a play-in game. You know, not competing, you know, hey, we're going to do this mini little rebuild and we're just going to be happy with, you know, being the sixth seed, right? They were sixth seed last. Yeah, being the sixth seed. They weren't in the play-in. So, yeah, I don't know where they go from here. I do think this is a team that is a prime blow-up candidate. DeMar DeRozan, it just seems inevitable that he's going to be a Laker. Caruso seems inevitable that they're going to trade him. And we'll kind of see what happens. It's something to keep an eye on is that Zach LaVine, that knee, man, it just sucks. Obviously, I live an hour away from Chicago. You know, it's the I-94 rivalry. And the NBA is better when the Bulls are better. And I really want to see the Chicago Bulls kind of turn this around. I don't know where they go. Kind of seems like they're in for a long rebuild. But, you know, we'll see what happens. Charlotte Hornets, I think this is the worst team in the NBA to watch. They're just not fun, man. What's fun about them? You know, they hired Kenny Atkinson this offseason. Then Kenny Atkinson was like, nah, I'm cool. Deuces, I'm going to sit on the Golden State bench. LaMelo Ball has played 3 games. Their second best player can't play. And Gordon Hayward, their highest paid player, he's always hurt. I don't know what this team does. I think it would be cool, you know, for Charlotte to get the number one pick. I think that would be pretty dope. It'd be good for the... It'd be good to see Michael Jordan. Obviously, he hasn't had the same success as an owner as he had when he was a player. But I don't know, man. They're just not exciting. I have no interest in watching them. Milwaukee went in there on a second night of a back-to-back on Saturday. Giannis, Chris, and Drew didn't play, and they led wire to wire. Just one of the worst rosters in basketball. I don't know. I don't know where they go. Everything about them is just weird. Mitch Kupchak is still running that team, surprisingly. You know, we'll kind of see what happens. The last two teams that we're going to talk about in the East, Detroit and Orlando. I would tell every Detroit and Orlando fan, and I've told them this before, I'm friends with a lot of them, just relax, man. This is the path. You're doing everything the right way. Jaden Ivey, he looks great. He looks really good. Between him and Cade, that backcourt is, you know, probably similar to Indiana. That's your next backcourt for the next 10, 12 years, Detroit. Cade Cunningham, the injury sucks, yeah, but now maybe you get Victor Wembanyama. Maybe you get, you know, Scoot Henderson. Maybe some things you can do in the draft. You're fine. You're absolutely fine. You're doing things the right way. You're fine. I wouldn't panic if I were them. And Jaden Ivey is a fun player to watch. They really are. Jalen Duran's the youngest player in the NBA. He's only going to get better. Detroit's doing everything fine. Same with Orlando. I mean, is Bol Bol the most fun player in the NBA? Brett tweets about the guy every other day. He's averaging a career high 27 minutes a game. He's averaging 30-8, almost 2 blocks a game. He's fun, man. A 7'3 dude that can dribble, pass, shoot. He looks good. Paolo Banchero, he looks everything as advertised. Franz Wagner looks good. Milwaukee just played Orlando last night, and Orlando just stuck with him, kept grinding. They're going to get probably a top 5 pick, and that's okay. That is okay. Orlando and Detroit aren't even close to competing for titles. They're just laying the bricks for the foundation. They're going to be fine. And they're also fun to watch. By League Pass, if Detroit's on, I'll check out Detroit for a little bit. Detroit just curb-stomped Miami tonight. They're a fun team. Orlando's a fun team to watch. I just think that don't get frustrated, although it really does suck that Cade's out because I fucking love Cade. Cade is so good. They're fun, man. Maybe they trade Bojan Bogdanovic. I don't know. I know that they signed under that contract. December 15th is coming up pretty quick, but you know, he had 31 tonight, 7-for-9 from three. Like I said, Detroit's a fun team to watch. You never know what you're going to get on every single night. So, yeah, guys, that is my recap of the East so far. I can't wait for Christmas Day. Fuck Boston. I guess I can say that. It's my podcast. Shout out to Jalen Brown, though. He'd be an excellent Milwaukee Buck, but that's where I'm at. Again, I appreciate everyone's support, everyone reaching out, and Brett and I will be back soon together, and we'll get these State of the Unions going. And follow Brett on Twitter, man. He's a great Twitter follower. Follow us, Overstated NBA Group. We're having fun, man. This NBA season, I cannot remember an NBA season that was this deep, had this much parity, and it's fun. It's fun. And I only talked about the East. I talked 35 minutes. I talked about the East. Next week, I'm going to talk about the West. It's a fun NBA season. Every team, except for the Charlotte Hornets, they're just fun. They're fun to watch. There's different storylines. There's different player development. It's awesome, man. The NBA is in it's in a great spot, guys. Keep watching. Keep subscribing. Keep liking our stuff. Keep the engagement going. And I will talk to you guys soon. I'm out. Bucks in six. Peace. Thank you.